Hey there, it's Kona Gallagher, host of And Then They Were Gone and Day by Day True Crime Stories, and I'm here to bring you an amazing opportunity to win some incredible prizes, all for a good cause. Join the Texas Advocacy Project's The Big Game Football Squares Raffle on February 9th, 2025, and help support survivors of power-based abuse. For every $100 donation, you secure a square and a chance to win amazing prizes. You can choose from two exciting grids. The Hawaiian Paradise Grid offers a grand prize of a seven-night stay for two at a luxury resort in Oahu or the Big Island. Or play the Beachfront Mexico Grid for a chance to win a four-night, all-inclusive stay for two at a five-star Marival Luxury Resort in Banderas Bay or Nuevo Nayarit, Mexico. Your contributions help survivors understand their rights, navigate the justice system, and secure emergency protective orders. To participate, visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org and select your grid today. Don't miss out. Tune in to the Texas Advocacy Project's Facebook page on February 9th, 2025, during the game for live updates on winners. Prizes are awarded at the end of each quarter, with the grand prize at the game's conclusion. So score big for a cause. Visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org to learn more.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
On November 21st, 2022, 11-year-old Madalena Kojikari boarded her school bus and went to school as usual. That afternoon, the bus dropped her off near her Cornelius, North Carolina home. But the next day, the bus went to school without Madalena, and no one at her school has seen her since. The most chilling part of her disappearance? Madalena's family never reported her missing. Both Madalena's mother, Diana, and her stepfather, Christopher Palmiter, were arrested. Now, over a year and a half after Madalena was last seen, they're both out, but many questions remain. This week, we'll be going over what has happened in the case since our original episode in 2023, and we'll discuss who the police have just named as their main suspect in Madalena's disappearance. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to update you on the story of Madalena Kojikari. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And this episode is an update episode, so it's a little different. Typically, I do the research and writing on this and tell you about a missing persons case that Ethan has never heard of before. And he is here to give his reactions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same questions that you have at home. But in this case, you obviously do know the story of Madalena, but I'm sure you are unaware of any of the updates that have been going on.
Completely unaware.
Yes. So it is going to be similar, but not exactly the same as our normal episode. So this is a bizarre case that we covered last season in season four. I've also re-released that episode. So if you haven't listened to it, or if it's been a while, I would recommend listening to that one first and then coming back here. And you can find it right below this one in whatever podcast app you're listening to right now. Before we get started, we have a few new people over on Patreon. So thank you so much to Mandolin P and Sarah. We really appreciate your support.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like to get in on the action and join at any level, you'll not only get these episodes early and ad-free, but you'll get your own copy of the And Then They Were Gone ebook that I wrote. Patreon has also enrolled a new chat feature, so I'm starting to put up chats for each episode. We're just getting started, but it could be a fun way for you all to share your theories on the cases.
Oh, yeah. Is that something that I'm going to be handling?
I actually did look to see if I can get you a login to our Patreon, and I can't.
Perfect.
So I could give you my login information, and you'll just have to like let them know that it's you and not me.
Whatever you want.
But yes, anyway, we do have a chat feature. But now let's get into the update of Madalena Kojikari. Now, just as a brief reminder, Diana Kojikari, Madalena's mother, is from Moldova. Madalena was born there, but we don't really know anything about her biological father. He wasn't ever involved in Madalena's life. But what we do know now is more details on how Diana and Christopher met. So we just kind of knew that like he was an American, she was from Moldova, he was 22 years older than she is. And, you know, they eventually married and Diana and Madalena came over to the States. But now we have like a little more info on that. So they met online in 2008, so quite a while ago, on a site called Global Ladies.
Oh, okay. So this is like a Russian bride kind of situation?
That's kind of what it seems like. He described it as a dating/writing website.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, and I was too afraid to look, honestly. Like, just by virtue of this podcast, like, the search history on my computer is insane, but I didn't think I needed to add, like, Global Ladies to that.
Well, I'm sure that your search history will come up when you murder me.
Yes. The two corresponded until 2010, when Diana cut off contact. Now, during that time, she got pregnant with Madalena by just some random local guy. After Madalena's birth father didn't want to have anything to do with her, Diana messaged Christopher again and told him that, you know, like, she's still out there. Kind of reopened the lines of communication. In 2015, Christopher brought Diana and Madalena to the States. The couple married in January 2016. The new family settled in Cornelius, North Carolina, a suburb of Charlotte. Cornelius is an upscale suburb and home to my Aunt Kathy, so shout out to her.
I'm sure she's not listening.
I think she listened to the first one. Madalena attended Bailey Middle School and lived in a friendly, close-knit neighborhood. Her life seemed great for many years, but by the end of 2022, cracks were definitely appearing in Diana and Christopher's marriage. They frequently argued, and Diana's family back in Moldova accused him of being controlling, while Christopher's friends paint Diana as manipulative and jealous. We go over the known timeline of Madalena's disappearance in depth in the original episode, so I'm just going to stick with the main points here.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot other than the main points in the first episode.
Yeah, it really wasn't, but I mean, we go into depth in terms of the investigation, like the timeline of the investigation. So right now, what's important is that on November 21st, 2022, as I mentioned in the intro, Madalena was seen by her school bus's surveillance camera exiting the bus at her usual stop after school. One of her neighbors, who was also on the bus, reported that he walked behind her and saw her enter her house as usual.
Right. And that was the last known sighting of her.
Correct. Yes. The last independent sighting, I should say.
Yeah.
And it's also the last part of any of this that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Because this gets the story that her parents are telling is just off the wall.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't know what happens on November 22nd, the next day. Madalena doesn't show up to school. That never really comes into anything, like why she wasn't there, what was happening in the house. All we know from the parents is, according to them, on November 23rd, 2022, Diana and Christopher supposedly got into an argument, and Christopher decided to drive up to Michigan, which is where he's originally from, to, quote, pick up items.
Right. And Michigan is like a 13 plus hour drive.
Yeah, like an insanely long drive. So later, when Christopher is questioned about this, he tells police he hadn't seen Madalena for a week before he took the trip.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like, they live in the same house, so, and this is, a little girl. Like, how do you not see somebody that's living in your house, that's your stepdaughter,
right,
for a week before this?
Well, not to get too much ahead of ourselves, but that is part of the update. And spoiler, it turns out that according to Christopher, it was actually much longer than a week.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. But yeah, it's even a week is crazy to me. We know that this isn't a situation in which, like, she could have been gone for that week, because we have independent verification that
she was
in school. She was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
In school. She was coming home.
Yeah.
So why didn't Christopher see her, or where was Christopher?
Right. Diana says that Madalena was indeed at the house on November 23rd and that she went to bed around 10 p.m. According to Diana, it wasn't until the next morning around 11:30 a.m. on November 24th that she woke up to find her daughter gone.
Right. And didn't she say that she woke up feeling as though she was, like, drugged or something?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
like, hung, not hungover, but...
No, but yeah, she felt, like, groggy and, like, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Like she was coming out of amnesia or something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. She also told investigators, and I don't recall this from the original information that I saw on this case, but she told investigators that she also noticed that Madalena's backpack and some of her clothes were missing.
Yeah, you didn't mention that in the first episode.
So that's, definitely another interesting detail. So weeks pass and no one sees Madalena. A truancy officer visited the home on December 12th, but no one answered. They left a truancy packet, but it wasn't until December 15th, 3 weeks after Madalena was last seen leaving her school bus, that Diana finally goes down to the school to meet with school officials. It's at this meeting that she admits that she doesn't know where her daughter is. When asked why she didn't report Madalena missing, she says that she was afraid of causing a conflict with her husband.
Right, which then begs the question, were they in some sort of abusive relationship where she was afraid that if Madalena had, or if she had reported Madalena missing, that would cause some, like, a physical altercation.
Right, right.
And that's why she didn't do it, but we don't know. We don't have any evidence of that.
No, I mean, and to be clear, like, there's never been any, like, cops called to the house or any domestic abuse allegations brought up prior to this, nothing of that nature. Not to say, of course, that means that nothing ever happened.
Sure.
But you're right. What I want to make the point of is that we don't have any proof.
We don't know. Right.
Of anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's at this point on the 15th that Madalena is reported missing to Cornelius police. Investigators immediately secured a search warrant for the home, seizing 25 items, including 3 iPhones. The next day, Cornelius police brought in the FBI and acquired a warrant for Diana and Christopher's phone records. On December 17th, 2022, both Diana and Christopher were arrested and charged with failure to report the disappearance of a child to law enforcement. A $200,000 bond was set for both Diana and Christopher, and they were both ordered to surrender their passports. Over the next several weeks, investigators received many tips, which we go over in the first episode. But the one that seems to have made the most impact came in March 2023. At this point, it is revealed that prior to Madalena's disappearance, Diana had extensive contact with a distant relative named Octavian Sinanu. On December 2nd, 2022, Diana had a long phone conversation with this man. Sinanu later told police that Diana told him that she was in a bad relationship with Christopher and wanted a divorce. He also stated that Diana asked him if he would help her smuggle her and Madalena away from their home.
And wasn't Octavian somehow connected to, like, a drug cartel too?
Yes, absolutely. And so that's how this whole, like, drug trafficking thing kind of came into the investigation.
Right.
So yes, not only are they, of course, primarily searching for Madalena, but then she's talking to not only Octavian, but other people who are involved in drug trafficking, allegedly. This lends credence to the theory that Diana did in fact have someone hiding her daughter, because as police said in early 2023, when all this was coming out, quote, persons involved with narcotics activity are also associated with human smuggling, end quote. The drug angle was a big part of the initial investigation, and on March 17th, 2023, Diana was charged with felony possession of a controlled substance while in jail. This charge came after a search revealed a white powder in her shirt pocket that tested positive for cocaine and fentanyl-based substances. And she, her story at the time was that she had found it on the shower floor.
Right, yeah. Those aren't my pants.
Right, exactly. They must have bought it, though, because after our first episode was released, on July 6th, 2023, this charge was dismissed.
Okay.
So maybe they weren't her pants. Diana remained in jail for all of 2023 and into 2024, because, again, she had that $200,000 bond, which she could not make. During this time, there were pretrial hearings, orders, and motions, and multiple delays. At least one of these delays was due to Diana herself. On February 23rd, 2024, Diana was scheduled to appear for an arraignment, but she refused to leave her jail cell. So the hearing was rescheduled.
Interesting.
I thought so too. I was not aware you could just do that.
Neither did I.
But according to one of the lawyers, like one of the district attorneys or whoever, they said that it's actually fairly common.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Diana wasn't actually indicted on the charge related to Madalena until April 15th, 2024.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
That is a long time.
I know, right? So on May 20th, 2024, Diana pleaded guilty to the charge without a plea agreement in place. And she did so because she had already served the maximum sentence for the charge of failing to report a child's disappearance.
Right. And I do think it's important to note that that was the charge. It was failure to report a child disappearing, not that
having anything to
her
do with the disappearance itself. Right. Exactly. And that is very key as we get into what's been going on in the last couple months. The maximum sentence for that charge is 17 months. And Diana served that already. So she didn't do a plea agreement with the DA. She didn't do anything. She just said, okay, fine, whatever, I'm guilty, and was released from prison, or jail, rather. Now, this is important, though, too, because she pleaded guilty without any sort of plea agreement in place, there are no stipulations to this. So she didn't have to give any more information. She didn't have to answer any questions. She didn't have to do a damn thing.
Monitored. She didn't have to report to anybody. She just walks out.
Exactly. She's just free. She's just done. Well, I shouldn't say she's done, because she definitely isn't. But as of now, police haven't filed any new charges against Diana. So at this moment, she does remain free, while Madalena remains to be found. Madalena's stepfather, Christopher Palmiter, was indicted on the same charge as Diana, failure to report a child missing, on January 3rd, 2023. Now, his bond, which was originally set at $200,000 like Diana, was actually reduced to $25,000.
Why?
I don't know exactly. So I don't know if they maybe thought that like she was the one primarily responsible, and he could have just had a better attorney, honestly, because sometimes that does happen. You know, your attorney can argue for a bail reduction. So he was released on that $25,000 bond on October 24th of 2023. Now, instead of pleading guilty, he opted to go to trial. And that trial started on May 24th, 2024. So he was out of jail for about 6 months prior to his trial, which just happened about a month prior to this recording. Christopher's defense was that Diana had tried to flee the country with Madalena with help from her mother and cousin. And I'm assuming that the cousin is Octavian, the, you know, who's just described as a distant relative. But I'm pretty sure that's who he's talking about here. While this may be Christopher's way of saying he's not guilty of doing anything to Madalena, it's not really a defense of the charge at hand,
right?
Which is failing to report her missing. His defense to that was seemingly that despite not seeing her for 23 days, he simply didn't realize she was missing.
What?
So the trial started and they called Madalena's guidance counselor to the stand. She testified that she called Christopher. So basically when Madalena started missing school back in November, the absences were unexcused. So she started calling the parents, mm-hmm. including Christopher. He never picked up. She left several voicemails, with the last one saying, quote, "If you do not call me back, I'm coming to your house," end quote. When she didn't hear back from Christopher or Diana, she sent the truancy officer to their home to deliver that truancy packet. And then that's what kicked off, you know, the whole interviews and figuring out that Madalena hadn't been seen in over 3 weeks. Body camera footage was shown of Christopher's first interview with detectives. In this footage, he gave four possibilities as to where his stepdaughter may be. And so this is the initial investigation back in December of 2022.
Okay, so he's theorizing where his stepdaughter might be?
Right, because, you know, as you can imagine, once police were called, you know, after they're in the guidance counselor's office, or after Diana was in the guidance counselor's office, then police were called, police interviewed both of them, and they're like, "Hey, where's your stepdaughter?" And he's like, "Well, I've got four ideas." And according to WSOC TV9, these four possibilities were, number one, she may be at a friend's house, but he couldn't give the name.
For several weeks at a friend's house.
I guess.
Okay.
Number two, Palmiter said he's heard in the news that kids get kidnapped, and maybe that happened.
How is this guy acting like so nonchalant about his stepdaughter going missing?
I have no idea. Number three, he thought she'd be in school.
And he wouldn't see her at home for 3 weeks?
No, but he does talk about that. Number four, Madalena has been in her room for the past 23 days.
I shove a couple of peanuts under the door every now and then just to make sure she's got food.
No, like, so his defense is literally, "I'm not the one who takes care of her. Diana is."
So he's just like wiping his hands like, "I don't ever do anything with her, so I don't know where she could be."
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with her.
Yes.
Wow.
That is his defense.
Solid stepdad.
Right. Well, what's interesting, too, is he kind of contradicts himself several times. And one of the ways that he contradicts himself is because his defense is just that he doesn't have anything to do with her, that Diana is responsible for Madalena solely. But he also talks about how Diana has been going crazy, basically, lately, or had been, you know, leading up to all of this, and that Madalena would, you know, ask him to take her places. So they'd go to the park, they'd go hang out. So his defense was like, "Yeah, my wife was crazy, and so I had to take care of Madalena and like entertain her.
But I don't take care of Madalena."
But I don't take care of Madalena. Exactly. The guidance counselor, Denise Lampkin, also testified that Madalena's school forms had two emergency contacts listed, Christopher Palmiter and someone else who is not authorized to pick Madalena up. Madalena's absences, like I mentioned, were unexcused at first, which is why Denise was calling the parents. After they didn't respond, Denise called this other emergency contact, and we don't know who this person is. But this person was the only one who actually got back to Denise and told her that Madalena wasn't in school because she was sick.
Hmm.
After that, someone went onto the school's online portal and reported Madalena absent due to illness. So at that point, her absences did become excused.
obviously the police are not going to release who this other emergency contact person was because they clearly had something to do with her missing. My guess would be that it's one of Christopher's relatives, obviously, because Diana's family is not in the States, right?
Well, her immediate family, like, yes, her parents, her mother, you know, for instance, is still in Moldova. I don't know if, you know, some of the people she was talking to, like Octavian or some of these other people, if they were in the States. Mm. So she might have like more distant relatives who are here or friends. I mean, it really could be anyone. So Christopher's lawyer argued that Madalena's school forms had only been signed by Diana. So while he was listed as an emergency contact, their argument is that Diana's the one who filled these forms out. So Christopher never agreed to be responsible for Madalena's school attendance. His lawyer, Brandon Roseman, also argued that there was no proof that Christopher had ever received the messages that Denise left.
So he just doesn't check his voicemails?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I mean, I do see that as, you know, because you really can't prove that he did receive them, right?
Right.
So again, because they're trying to prove that he didn't know Madalena was missing. So if he's not receiving these calls saying, hey, she hasn't been in school in several weeks, then you could still say he didn't know that she was missing.
It's a loose defense, but sure.
It's a loose defense, but yeah. During closing arguments, Roseman argued that the state didn't prove that Christopher actually knew that Madalena was missing. He said that Christopher didn't have a supervisory role over his stepdaughter and that Diana controlled everything. He also went on to name four faulty assumptions that the state had made in its case. We love a list in this case, apparently. Number one, that it was impossible to not know Maddie was missing for 23 days. And so I find this really interesting because Roseman said, like, hey, you know, I'm a busy guy. I've got kids. I've definitely gone for 24 hours without seeing my kids because of my work schedule. It's not 23 days, but still. And I'm like, I don't know if that's really helping as much as you think it is.
Yeah, definitely not. But also, just because, you know, you don't see your kids for 24 hours doesn't mean you don't know where they are.
Right, right. You at least are aware of the fact that they're in the house. Because right. You have had situations where your schedule is so crazy that even though you're in town and coming home every night, you would go for like 3 days without seeing Miller, the youngest one, because of just the time that you left and the time he went to bed.
Right. But I knew he was here.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to school.
Yeah. And again, even 3 days isn't 23 days.
Right.
So number two, so again, this list is the faulty assumptions that the state has made. So number two is that Chris and Diana had a normal relationship. And I get what he's saying, right? Like, you're assuming that they had a normal husband and wife relationship, that they talk to each other, that they're co-parents, that they're all of these things. But their argument is that that is not what it was at all. Christopher actually testified, and I didn't really get into this, but it is kind of interesting. So we can. Chris testified on his own behalf in this. And one of the things that he did was describe his relationship with Diana. And he very much described a relationship that was not a typical marriage. He said that they had never been physically intimate. Mm. That they only had ever kissed on the lips for like birthdays and things like that. And they only shared a bedroom for the first, I forget how many months of their marriage. And she eventually just moved into Madalena's room.
So it sounds like it's some sort of contractual agreement, but what would he be getting out of that?
I don't know.
Because, like, obviously, like, she came from Moldova and came to the States.
Yeah.
So she gets that. I don't know what the living situation is like in Moldova. But, like, what is he getting out of it then?
I am not sure. And he also talked about how Diana really did control everything with Madalena, that she kind of wore the pants in the family, as he put it, and made all the decisions. And, you know, that he really wasn't involved with raising Madalena.
Okay. I mean, it's plausible.
So faulty assumption number three, according to the defense, is that it's related. It's that Chris and Diana had normal communication. Mm. Right. So right. He's saying we didn't, and that's why I didn't know. And number four, the state assumed Chris's role in supervising Madalena.
Sure.
Again, in a co-parenting situation. Roseman said that by this time, late 2022, Diana was already actively deceiving Christopher, so he had no idea as to what was really going on with Madalena. He even went so far as to say that Diana had gaslighted Christopher into believing that Madalena was home for those 23 days. She had apparently told him that Madalena was sick, and Chris testified that there was always Flonase on the kitchen island.
Okay.
He said that Diana actively tried to keep him out of the house and often spoke about Madalena as if she were there.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, he'd be at work or whatever, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to go do this or that or something like that.
I mean, as far-fetched as this is, it is certainly plausible that that could have been the case.
I have a problem with not questioning, like, why you haven't heard her in 23 days. Or, you know, why you didn't go and, like, check in or anything. Like I said,
this is far-fetched.
It is,
but,
it is.
It could be the case. You know, who knows?
Yeah. But in his closing arguments, Assistant District Attorney Austin Butler...
did you listen to any of the case?
I unfortunately did not listen. He played several clips from Christopher's interviews with police. One clip in particular showed Christopher admitting that he didn't know where Madalena was and that he asked Diana, who said she didn't know either. But despite that, he didn't call police. And that's something we knew from the very beginning, because if you go back again to our original episode, their story is that Christopher got home from Michigan and Diana said, hey, did you take Madalena somewhere? Right. And he was like, no.
Did you?
Yeah. And she was like, no. And then
they just left it.
They just left it.
Right.
And that's, you know, November 24th or whatever, 25th. And they still didn't report her missing until December 15th.
Right. So to the charge of failure to report, he just admitted that he knew she was missing. So
yes.
So all of the defense that he just made is bullshit.
Yeah, basically. And again, Christopher wasn't charged with harming Madalena, nor was he charged with hiding her. He was simply charged with failure to report her missing. And on that, like you just said, the case seems pretty open and shut.
Yeah.
The jury agreed. After only 13 minutes of deliberation, they returned with a guilty verdict.
Wow.
I mean, they must have honestly just gotten to the room, sat down, said, okay, let's do an initial poll. Everybody came back guilty. And they're like, all right, well.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess we're done.
Jeez, I've had longer jury deliberations on protest charges.
Yeah. Christopher was sentenced to 30 months of probation. We know that both parents failed to report Madalena missing, but neither of them has answered the important question.
Where is she?
Exactly. The prevailing theory is that Diana is hiding Madalena somewhere, obviously with the help of someone or several someones, because she did spend a year and a half in jail. Given the limited information we had up to this point, I thought that Diana had been trying to hide Madalena from Christopher. However, based on secret recordings made by Diana herself, it wasn't Christopher that Diana was afraid of. It was the Russians. In his trial, Christopher testified that Diana was very religious and she was just a suspicious person in general. However, her suspicion seemed to border on paranoia. According to him, when people would ask Diana what she did for a living, she would tell them that she, quote, saved souls, end quote. He also said that in 2022, and again, this is according to him, his wife became concerned that both Vladimir Putin and, impossibly, Michael Jackson were after her and Madalena, and she wanted Christopher to help hide them.
From a dead pop star.
Yes.
And the president of Russia.
Yes.
Okay.
An article in the Charlotte Observer went into more detail about the testimony, saying Christopher alleged that Diana believed, quote, Michael Jackson and Vladimir Putin wanted to marry her for her land she had back home in Moldova. Russian entities were watching her. Cellular 5G waves and Wi-Fi signals were dangerous, end quote.
I don't have anything to say to that complete absurdity.
Yes. And again, that part.
So wait, these allegations are coming from Christopher.
Right.
Okay.
So take that with a huge, huge, huge grain of salt.
Yeah.
However, News Nation obtained a recording that was played during Christopher's trial. In it, Diana talks about needing Christopher to help her and Madalena hide.
Along with Diana's own words in a conversation she recorded with Palmiter on December 5th, after Madalena was gone.
My intuition told me something is coming that can be a
Okay, in case you didn't get what Diana was saying, she said, my intuition told me something is coming that can be a unintelligible to our family. Can you protect us as a family? It was just intuition. I don't know what's that. You had to listen to me when I told you then and do what I asked you to do. Take me and Madalena to members of your family, to one of your brothers. Then Christopher says, I did. She says, to your mom, you didn't do anything.
So she's having this conversation with Christopher and it's being recorded?
Yes. So Diana recorded this herself. Remember, police seized three different iPhones. I'm assuming the recording came from that.
Okay.
So, you know, she doesn't say anything about Putin or Michael Jackson, but she does say that, you know, she had asked Christopher to hide her. Now, keep in mind, though, this is December 5th. Which is after Madalena went missing. So I don't know if she's retconning this whole thing.
Right. So that's what I like. Why was she recording this conversation?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's after Madalena has gone missing. So to me, I mean, that shows right there that there either they or she is coming up with some sort of plausible deniability about where Madalena is. I don't see that as like, proof positive that either she's nuts or anything. It shows guilt on her part that they or she is trying to come up with some plan.
Mm-hmm. And she's aiming to blame her husband for not protecting Madalena and saying that that's why she's gone. So she's not, you know, setting up like a situation in which she's framing him for this.
Mm-hmm.
She's more setting up a situation in which an unknown third party came, took Madalena.
Right.
And Christopher did nothing to stop it.
Right.
Beyond that, when he testified, Christopher described rituals that Diana would do, which apparently included like chanting and screaming. And he said that she would make Madalena do these things as well. She started burning a lot of objects around their home, including after Madalena disappeared, she burned Madalena's mattress. And this was actually confirmed by one of their neighbors who saw a twin bed being burned in their backyard.
Good way to cover up a murder.
Christopher also testified that Diana started burning pictures of Madalena after her disappearance as well. When asked where his stepdaughter was, Christopher testified that he didn't know, but he does believe that Diana knows where she is. He said, quote, I think Diana took her somewhere, maybe with her Moldovan family. I don't know, but I think Diana has tucked her away somewhere she won't be found, end quote. When she was released from jail, a reporter asked Diana where Madalena is. Diana simply responded, quote, I hope she is safe, end quote.
Mm.
Police have vowed to keep searching for Madalena until she is found. They have performed multiple physical searches, along with searching cell phones and laptops in hopes of finding the now 13-year-old girl. In June 2024, just days prior to this recording, Cornelius police officially named Diana as a suspect in her daughter's disappearance. Another search warrant was issued in March 2024, which allowed investigators to obtain jailhouse phone calls from both Diana and Christopher. In one call between Diana and her mother, they discussed the theory that Christopher, quote, gave the girl away for money, end quote. In a call between Christopher and his brother and sister-in-law, he mentioned that Diana, quote, had a lot of cash with her and he did not know where it came from, end quote. Police haven't filed new charges against Diana, nor have they given additional information as to why they're now officially naming her a suspect. What we do know is that search warrants confirm that the police have obtained video surveillance footage from a location near Sugar Mountain, North Carolina, that does appear to show Madalena there with an unidentified man on December 16th, 2022. Though Diana was released from jail and isn't on probation or anything like that, her conviction means that she's at risk for being deported back to Moldova because she is only in the U.S. on a green card. If that were to happen, it could cause problems with any future extradition efforts if they were to bring charges at a later date. So publicly naming her as a suspect could be an indication that police are trying to bring charges prior to any potential deportation.
Yeah, that would have been my guess.
Mm-hmm. It's not currently known where Diana has been staying since her release from jail, but it's probably not with her husband. Christopher Palmiter filed for divorce from Diana Kojikari on June 10th, 2024. So I'm struggling with this because based on what we know, which again is, I'm sure, only a small fraction of what investigators know at this point, I don't see anything really pointing to Christopher being involved in Madalena's disappearance.
No, I would agree with that.
So why the hell didn't he report her missing then?
It is a possibility that his defense is somewhat true in that Diana ran the show with Madalena and he was extremely hands off. He definitely knew she was missing.
Yeah.
Or at least not home.
Right.
But maybe he didn't know to what extent she was missing or not home. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was so hands off and that he was just like, whatever, my wife's going crazy anyway. I need to get out of this situation or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. I'm spitballing at this point.
Right. No, of course. And I could kind of see that in like, okay, maybe he thought that Diana had sent her away temporarily or something like that.
But why wouldn't he say that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't say that? And then you have to go back to his initial interview with police when he's giving his four theories on where Madalena could be. And one of them is, I don't know, I've seen on TV sometimes girls get kidnapped. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Right.
Like, if that's one of your four theories, it seems like you should have talked to somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I usually try to stay away in most cases from like second guessing how, you know, parents or family members react in situations like this. But like, that's pretty fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously guilty of something.
Yeah. I mean,
he was found guilty of not reporting her missing. So, yeah. Yes. But like, he knows more than what he's letting on, I think.
Yeah.
But it may not be to the point of being involved in her disappearance.
Right. I would agree.
That's obviously, we don't know the whole story. We don't know all of the information, like you said, that investigators have, but that would be my takeaway, that he knows something, but it may not be connected to where she is or even her disappearance.
Yeah. And in, you know, what we do know does lend credence to the theory that Diana has people helping her hide Madalena because, you know, we don't know if this like unexplained money that Christopher talked about in the jailhouse call is true, but police took that jailhouse call and like really have been digging into their financials. So I'm sure they do know a lot more about that. What we do know is that Diana was stopped by police, and we talk about this in the original episode. She was stopped by an officer near a lookout point, not by Sugar Mountain, but by a different mountain, Elk Mountain, I believe, which is a couple hours away in North Carolina. And that in her car, she had all these like Western Union receipts.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something funky going on there with like different mountains and these areas. Because they're mountains and because they're so remote, there isn't cell phone service. Like there isn't Wi-Fi. And it is a place where you could hide somebody and really be off the grid.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Or exchange with somebody.
Right.
Yeah. So my theory of this
mm-hmm.
is that she set this up for whatever reason. She set this up for Madalena to end up getting smuggled back to Moldova.
I don't think that's possible, honestly. In a post 9/11 world, I don't think Madalena's getting back to Moldova.
So you think she's like somewhere with the drug cartel in like Mexico or something?
I think that she's, yeah. I mean, I think that's the furthest she could be. Like, I think she's still in the States.
So my theory yeah. centers around the fact that Diana didn't fight the first charge at all because mm-hmm. she knows that if she's found guilty or whatever, or pleads guilty, that she's set free, and that charge would lead to her deportation.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately reuniting her with Madalena back in Moldova in an unextraditable country.
Right. And yes, she
just
could,
a theory.
No, you're right. And whether or not that is what would happen, like she could believe that's what would happen. Absolutely. Yeah. She right. could believe that Madalena could get back to Moldova. And she could believe that exactly what you said, that she'll get deported and whatever. My big issue with her, the idea of her having people hide Madalena when we were originally covering this case was like she's sitting in jail, obviously without her daughter. Like, why wouldn't she say something then? Like, why wouldn't she say something to try to get Madalena back? Or
because
like
she
say,
knew where she was.
Right. And I was also thinking about it from the perspective of like rational thought, right? Which is, I don't want people to think that I killed my daughter, so I'm going to tell them where she is. But if she truly does believe, like even if it's not, you know, Michael Jackson, Vladimir Putin, if she truly does believe that somebody is after them with the intent to harm her and her daughter, then you can see why she wouldn't say a word mm-hmm. while she was in jail. And she would just sit there for 500 days
mm-hmm.
and just keep quiet and then hope that whoever she was working with to hide Madalena was successful in their plan to protect her.
Another theory is that she murdered Madalena, disposed of the body, came up with this after
mm-hmm.
the murder to include burning evidence
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Christopher is somewhat in on it in the sense that like, oh, she's out of her gourd, burning things, having rituals and shit like that. And all of this was set up to cover the fact that she was destroying evidence.
Yeah.
There's that theory too.
Absolutely.
Again, all theories. We have no proof of any of this.
At this point, Madalena Kojikari has been missing for a year and a half. Hopefully we are not right about that last theory and she is out there somewhere safe. The entire town of Cornelius has been praying for this little girl and hopefully they'll all have answers soon. Madalena Kojikari has been missing from Cornelius, North Carolina, since approximately November 23, 2022. Madalena is a white female with brown hair and brown eyes. She was 4 feet 10 inches tall and weighed approximately 90 pounds at the time of her disappearance. She was last seen wearing jeans, pink, purple, and white Adidas shoes, and a white t-shirt and jacket. Madalena was 11 when she went missing. She would be 13 today. Anyone with information on Madalena's whereabouts is asked to call the Cornelius Police Department at 704-892-7773 or the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Anyone who wishes to remain anonymous can call North Mecklenburg Crime Stoppers at 704-896-7867. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.